okay, okay. Ah! Oh! Hey, I'm trying to get crumb.
Recording in progress. We haven't done one of these in a while.
No.
Yeah. A little rusty.
I might have put myself in a hole after that Texas game and didn't come out until yesterday morning.
Yeah. In the tailgate, I was sensing a little bit of apathy even before the game.
11 a.m. kick has a hand in that.
There was a little bit of apathy, kind of a little bit of now we're back in the good old days where we're coming for the party and we're coming to see our friends. Hopefully we do something on the field. Some of the places you could smell some really good food, some really good breakfast food. But yeah, I mean, yesterday was not. We've had better days as Cyclone fans.
Yeah,
I don't even know. I don't even know really what to do because I listen to all these other podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I try not to be exactly like them. So, like, I listen to the Shutdown Fullcast. That one's great. We don't have the media credentials and expertise right. that they do. And we don't have all day to focus on college athletics. I mean, shoot, we all have day jobs.
Right.
And other ones that I listen to is, like, the 304 podcast, which is a West Virginia podcast. Those guys, I kind of like them. I kind of like the style that they go with. Because you can tell that they're all sitting close to each other, talking about whatever, just bullshitting. They sit in the stands. They sit in section 304. And yeah, they're very negative about their team. They're almost too negative. I don't really like to go that negative. But I mean, they've been saying fire Neil Brown for 2 years. So
sure.
Yeah, Tyler knows about this podcast. Where
yeah, oh my gosh,
they had this one guy had an epic rant about Dana Holgorsen the day after we beat them in 2018.
That was an all-timer. I was on the floor laughing.
I mean, he was talking about how how nothing's going to change, and Dana's probably finding his way to the bottom of a bottle on a Tuesday night after the game. Going, it's all good, whatever. And anyway, so, but I try not to, like, you know, I try to take a little inspiration from them, but I try not to go all the way because right. then I don't want to feel like a copycat and whatever. But I do like starting it out with some comparisons, and I don't know. I gotta admit, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to do this podcast when you're just getting beaten over the head with a stick.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to go, okay, we've lost five in a row. Why even bother? But I kind of want to make a point before I go down a terrible road here. So I don't know. You're probably like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm interested.
So, Kevin. We're not going to get into too many personal details, but Kevin, your family owns business.
Yeah.
You are kind of the head guy of one of the manufacturing places or whatever. I mean, I've never been there. I don't really know. I've just been your friend for a couple of years. So It's like
I could be blowing smoke this whole time.
Yeah, I mean, we all have a guy friend named Doug who were like, "Yeah, that's Doug." Oh, what does Doug do? Yeah, I don't really know. Have you ever met Doug's wife? You know, does Doug have any kids? I'm not sure. We all have a friend, Doug. So, but yeah, so Kevin's family owns a business. Kevin's the head of one of the manufacturing sites. Let me ask you something, Kevin. Kevin.
No.
I'm breathing a lot today. Kevin, if one of your quarters, one quarter, you look at your sales and you go, man, sales is not good. We're not selling much. What actions do you take? Do you just go, you know what, that was just this quarter. We'll see how we do next quarter. You've got to
at least compare it to prior years. Same. What did we do Q1 last year if Q1 this year didn't hit? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what's changed that's noticeable?
Yeah.
And we need to be monitoring this going mm-hmm. going into the rest of the year, make sure there isn't a trend happening.
Yeah. And maybe you have new salespeople and you go, hey, we just got to train them up.
Yeah, maybe you can justify things like that.
Yeah, maybe it's older salespeople and you need to kick them into gear a little bit. You need to measure it with how many calls are they making, how many visits are they making, how many deals are they closing, how blah 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 blah.
What's the temperature of the market in general? It's
way easier to track that today than 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Now let's say for two straight quarters. You're down. Different discussion. Way different discussion, isn't it? It's a, hey, sales branch manager, what's going on?
What about 5 years?
Why aren't we closing deals? Why aren't we doing stuff? If for a whole fiscal year, Kevin, what happens if for a whole fiscal year your sales are down? What do you do?
Well, there better be some justification. are you going to ask me next? What if we're still down after 5 years?
I'm not going to keep going because if you're not making a change after a year,
yeah,
of a whole year, now I know you can kind of translate this over to football.
I know where you're going.
You know where I'm going. You don't have a full year of football. You have 12 games. But if quarter after quarter your sales just suck and you're not going to change, you're going to go out of business. Now you go get new. Now that's how you fix that, is either you change your sales philosophy or you go hire a new sales manager or whatever you have to do. You got to make a change, even if it's not the right change, even if you screw it up. You think you fail fast. That's what you have to do. You have to fail fast and find a way out of it, or your company is fucked. Yep. Yep. First swear of the episode. Anyway, your company's screwed. You got to hurry. You got to find the right sales guy. And then, but let's say this. Let's say, okay, Kevin, let's say your sales are down for, let's say they're down for two quarters straight.
Sure.
But also, your manufacturing's down. Like, you're having a ton of manufacturing issues, a ton of quality issues, and they're down for two quarters straight. Now it's not a, hey, all you guys, we got to figure, now you're having discussions with everybody.
Well, there isn't just one group that you can pin the blame on. Maybe maybe sales are down because your quality is garbage.
Yeah. Well,
maybe you're not hit. Maybe you're not hitting lead times. Maybe.
Maybe. But let's say this: if that's all down for a quarter, your job, Kevin, is to figure out how to fix it. If it's down for a whole fiscal year, you're looking for a new job. Even though it's your family's business, you're looking for a new job. Because we need to find somebody who can make this product and sell it. I coming back with the offense, That's what I'm talking about. The offense. I mean, because do you think that across the board we are recruiting guys with the same level of talent across the team? You think everybody on the offense and the defense has about the same skill level?
I don't evaluate recruiting talent like you do. I see the product on the field, and I see two completely different caliber sides of the ball.
Because what I see is I see that our offense and our defensive recruits are about the same level, about the same level of recruit. And one is number 12 in the nation on their side of the ball. The defense absolutely lights out every game, keeping us in. When we need them to make the other team go three and out, and we're hooting and hollering, they do it, and they sack Dylan Gabriel in the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going nuts, and we come out and lay a dud on offense.
It's amazing how good our field position was in this game, too.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean, we pulled an Iowa on Oklahoma, and we just couldn't do anything.
Can't do anything. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how you can take a guy, Hunter Deckers,
mm-hmm.
who threw the second furthest ball at the Adidas Under Armour All-American, or not the Under Armour, the Adidas U.S. Army All-American Bowl, or whatever the fuck it is. You know what I'm talking about? They take all the high school kids every year. Hunter Deckers was number two at furthest deep ball behind C.J. Stroud, who's the head Heisman candidate front runner, whatever.
Yeah.
And we never see a deep ball.
Why is that? Because they're packing the box. Everybody is.
They're packing the box. We can't run.
No.
They know we're going to throw a shallow crosser.
I don't think we have duds in as running backs. We were talking about this at the game and afterwards too, was there's no reason that this offense requires a starting NFL caliber running back for us to put up an average rushing attack.
No, not in the Big 12.
No, you not don't need that. 12. That's not a requirement. The rest of the league does not have those guys either.
If we're playing Georgia and we're going and we're getting stuffed every play, I get it. We're playing Oklahoma, who's a joke on defense. A joke.
Who's the worst defense in the Big 12, dude.
They're a joke, and we can't do shit. Hunter Deckers was our leading rusher, and he had one rush. Stupid.
Bro.
It's pathetic.
You know how I knew it was trouble, man?
Tell me, Tony.
It was the Kansas game, because Kansas was also a bad defense. We only put up 11 points against them. Two of the worst defenses, 11 points and 13 points on offense. That's not going to get it done.
And what changes have we made?
Nothing.
Nothing. Have we made any changes? Maybe we're not smart enough for football. For how all the changes that they're making, but I haven't seen anything, not in the stat sheet. My mom just texted me and wanted to know what food she should bring for next weekend. I'm on the verge of telling her, don't even come.
Oh, you can't do that.
No, I mean, here's the thing. If this was back in 2013 or 2014, and we saw that type of product being brought out where we're losing 71-7, and you know we don't have a stable of running backs, we don't have a wide receiver worth a damn, our quarterback's thrown to the other team more than he's thrown to his own team, then I would be like, all right, whatever. Just go to the tailgate. Have fun. Just go to the game. Hope for a victory. It's probably not going to happen. Then, yeah. Whatever. Where the defense is bad and the offense is bad. But we're going because we love our school. I know we got talent.
You're damn right we do.
Shoot. That defense is flying around.
Man.
I know we have talent. We have true freshmen playing on the defensive side. Jeremiah Cooper, Carson Willick, Dominique Orange, Will McLaughlin. Shoot.
Jamari Cooper had a heck of a game yesterday too.
A heck of a game.
He lit TJ somebody Tampa, up heck of a game. Short of a third down conversion. I don't even remember the specific scenario. All I know is that guy's feet left the turf.
Yep.
I mean, they're doing. Man, I mean, that team, they stopped a team full of five-star talented players. That's a good team. When Oklahoma can move, they can move. And we kept them under 28 points. Didn't we? Maybe. I don't know.
Yes. They scored 27.
27.
They scored 27, which is usually a game that you can be in with would Oklahoma.
And the question is, would they have scored 27 if we would have capitalized on some drives?
No, because they got interception down to the two. And it took them a few plays to get it.
Touchdowns. Yeah. So they would score like 19 or 20.
Yeah. And we can't even score more than two touchdowns. We can't even score two touchdowns against a terrible team on defense in our home stadium. Something has to change.
Yesterday was the first time that I've heard a segment of the fan base trying to start a Fire Tom Manning chant. They were over a section away from us. And,
yep.
And
guys, I heard the boos yesterday through the TV. I'm like, wow.
I hate the boos. I hate them.
I heard somebody talking about that. That came out of the end zone, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't.
I don't like the boos because the players think it's for them.
Mm-hmm.
And right. It's not.
Well.
It's not. It's for somebody else. And if you want to do the chant, Fire Tom Manning, I get it.
The problem is.
At least the players will know it's not for them.
None of us are able to single out one position group as the problem. One player as, hey, dude, you got to figure your shit out. It's across the board on the entire offense.
Which is why I came back, which is why I said what I said at the beginning about your family's company.
Yeah.
If it's everybody that can't figure it out, it's going at the top dude.
Yep.
It's the top dude to blame.
Yeah,
I don't know what you want to do about
figure
Tom Manning,
it
but
out.
It ain't working as it is right today.
Figure
as
it
is
out.
Today, it ain't working.
And we can talk about how we're not at the same echelon as some of the premier programs in the country.
It doesn't matter.
We just saw the news today about the TV deal getting broke. We're still getting paid stupid cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Figure it out. I mean, this is, man, I almost wanted to punch my TV last night because I'm sitting at home and I'm like, you know what? I should flip on a couple of games. We'll watch a couple of games simultaneously. And these teams are duking it out. Their offenses look great. And even like Texas A&M, their offense was like Texas A&M gets made fun of because their offense ain't that good. They get made fun of. And they're still throwing it down the field. They're still throwing touchdowns right. I'm like,
I don't, that's something I would never get, dude. I don't get why we're not throwing the ball downfield.
If they're loading you're exactly right. They're loading the box like that. Just sling it to show a threat.
Especially
if you can do it along the sideline, so at least it's your guy or nobody type of situation, but you just showed them you're willing to throw it. I'm not saying flutter it into the middle of the field between the hashes where there might be triple coverage waiting or something stupid.
Yeah, like the situation of football, man, it has irked me for the past five weeks. I was like, are you kidding me?
You don't even want to be armchair quarterbacking and being like, well, if you do it this way, it will work. I don't know what will work.
I don't know either. There's too much inconsistency.
I'm a chemical engineering major from Iowa State. That's what I am.
Oh. I'll tell you this much. With as inconsistent as we are, I'm going to lean on a couple of old tantrums of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Third and inches, guys. Fail for me by snapping under center. I'm thinking of our first third and inches near the goal line. Was it near the goal line? It doesn't matter because I know we didn't get it. We tried to run it out of the shotgun. And Oklahoma blasted the fuck out of it. Our next third and one, maybe. We snap it over our quarterback's head when he's not ready. That was also in the shotgun.
Yep.
Our next, was it fourth and inches along the goal line? Tried passing it. That didn't work.
Yep.
Out of the shotgun. If you can't do the basic stuff, why are we trying to do anything fancy? Like, just get under center and QB sneak it. Dumb.
Completely agree with you, man.
And that's the end of me talking about us not going under center again.
The thing is that I know I'm a chemical engineer major from Iowa State, graduated in 2015, been watching crappy football for years. Okay. Have I taken a course on football? Have I ever had a job in football or coached football? No. I'm just a dude who liked looking at recruiting stuff and liked rooting on my team. But guess what? I can tell when it's not working. I can't tell you why it's not working. I can't tell you why other offenses work and ours don't.
That's why they're millionaires on the staff.
That's why there's millionaires on the staff. Tom Manning is a millionaire because he coaches 12 games a year. He doesn't have to teach any of the boys. I mean, yeah, he helps out and does all that. I'm not saying that he doesn't have to do anything other than 12 weekends a year.
Yeah.
But his job is to coach a football game, is to lead our team. He gets through 12 games a year, not 12 victories. We're not saying you're guaranteed 12 victories, but you're a millionaire.
Right.
Because you have to win like 7 games a year, and two of those are cupcakes. Two of those are cupcakes. Yep. And it's like I don't understand how brain surgeons and other people like that who like there are firefighters in this country that are making like $40,000 a year.
Well, they don't draw audiences. Draw audiences. If you're in a small town, everybody follows the volunteer firemen.
Yeah, they're saving lives. They're saving lives. Yeah. They're doing stuff that, at the end of the day, matters. And I'm not saying, I am saying that college football at the end of the day doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not essential to life. But if you're going to be an Iowa State coach, you're going to get paid $1 million. You better win.
Well,
you better put out a product that looks like we can do it.
It means a hell of a lot to people like you and me. This is our pastime, guys. And just to put up with it just because. Like, maybe next year we'll figure it out. Maybe next year we'll finally be able to run. Maybe next year against a team in Oklahoma that allows 207 yards rushing going into the game per game, maybe we'll get more than 66.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just like
you got to be a Taco Bell chef. You got to take dog meat and turn it into gourmet.
Yep,
that's what you got to do. And you got to, if you're going to be Tom Manning, you better be driving home from the stadium going, you know what? I did my part. And the reason why we didn't win is because our Jimmys and Joes just don't line up with theirs. Or else you better win. Because this is Iowa State football. And you know what? Right. That is something that Iowa State fans can accept. We can accept that our players just aren't as good as the other team. We've been doing that for years. But it's not our players now.
No, I don't think
they're not. We have players now. That's the most upsetting or the most disheartening thing about this whole thing is like, damn. Like, and really, the main reason why I keep coming out here and investing in the, at, you know, investing in this, with my time into this, because I love coming out and seeing you, Kev, Allison, everybody else tailgate. That's like, that's four, and well, let's see, 9 hours of driving time that I could stay, but I choose to come out here.
Right. Yeah, no, everybody's sacrificing something by choosing this to be passionate about. And all I'm asking for is, I don't care. I don't expect us to make a move. I don't care us to do anything. I care if we do anything before the season's over. This season is what it is. There's nothing drastic that's going to happen within the program between now and December.
Why not?
But
why not?
I don't expect it. I don't see it.
We're gonna go into the. How many games do you think we're gonna win for the rest of the season? Just put money on it. Not money. Just put your name on it. Put your name on it.
I was feeling really good about our team after that Texas game, even though I was completely pissed about how that game went. But I finally saw our offense taking what was given to us in the ball. And I thought, 2 weeks, we've got a bye week. Here we go. We're going to dial it up. Sure, Oklahoma also has 2 weeks to figure us out a little bit. Not to mention, we trained Venables on how our defense operates because we're idiots.
Dumbest decision we could have ever made.
That was the dumbest decision
why
ever.
Why would you tell anybody trade secrets? I mean, Mike Leach is out here talking about how he cons everybody. And at one point, he was a really good coach, and he talks about how he cons everybody and tricks everybody and leaves fake playbooks for people to find and whatnot so that they get – and we're teaching everybody how to run our defense. What are we doing?
Do I think that that really made a difference in yesterday's game? No, our defense still did a number on them. They just got worn down. They just got worn down from Oklahoma not having to worry about us scoring on them. But
– yep.
How many games are we going to win?
After yesterday, I don't know. We're probably going to win like, what do we got? We're not going to beat Oklahoma State at Stillwater.
No.
We're probably not going to, well, I don't. Are we going to beat TCU at Fort Worth?
No.
This is the problem. The way this offense is performing, you're making a guy in me who thinks we were going to go 11-1 in August think that we might not win another game. Because I can't hold out eternal hope. Now it's prove it to me.
Here's the thing. I'll tell you what I think. I think that West Virginia's defense is terrible. But it doesn't matter because Oklahoma's defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Right.
West Virginia's offense is good. All you have to do is look at how good the offense is, and you can predict who's going to win this game. West Virginia's offense is pretty good. That's an L. Oklahoma State, we're not going to win there. We're not going to win an away game. So that's an L. And they're too good.
I'd be curious where our starting field position was yesterday. I know it was as good as it's ever been this season.
It was very, very good.
Texas Tech, they hired a scumbag, so they're going to win. Here's the thing, and this is going to be a dumb argument. If you hire a scumbag, you have to take the druthers of hiring a scumbag, but you're probably going to win. Anyway, they hired a scumbag, so they're gonna beat us. They have a better offense than us. That Baron Morton guy's going to get even better and better by the week. It's pretty bad last night, but Baylor was on last night. We're not going to beat TCU. We're not going to win on the road. We're not going to take them out of the playoff if they're still undefeated. We're not winning another game. We're going 7. We're going 3-9.
Which is crazy considering the talent that we have.
With the defense. With our defense.
Yeah, with a top 10 defense, we're going to go 3-9.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go 3-9.
Who would have thought?
With an incredible defense.
I thought our special teams, apart from that Kansas-esque fake field goal.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that out of an Oklahoma Sooner program.
Yeah.
I would bust out the trick plays. But apart from that, I mean, our kickoff unit, how many times did we stuff them inside of the 20? Because they tried running with it when they returned the ball from the 5. At least 2, I bet, times. That's a win. Uh-huh. How many times did our punt unit put them inside their own 15? I mean, those are moves forward that I saw out of the bye week that we weren't doing.
Yeah, and giving up a touchdown on a field goal, on a fake field goal, I'm not going to count that as a terrible miscue because we weren't expecting that. Now we need to – if we had a special teams coach, they might tell you how to look out for that. But we weren't looking out for that at all. Otherwise, the conventional special teams plays, we did very well. So you can't blame it on that. You can't blame it on our defense. You can only blame it on our offense, how terrible they were.
It's all back to the offense again.
It's terrible.
Again.
It's terrible.
Again, and yet we're
terrible. You're gonna come out and you're gonna post these pictures of how great Xavier Hutchinson is and how he's like an All-American preseason All-American guy. He hasn't had a touchdown since the Ohio game.
Yeah,
that's
had a touchdown in all of October. And people were talking about just 2 weeks ago how he's a Biletnikoff candidate. No, he's not.
He's not.
And you know what? He has the talent to be. He's just not getting the ball where he needs to be. He's not being put in a position where he needs to be to score touchdowns and do other things. Because he's running shallow crossers.
Yeah.
Freaking shallow crossers, man. It drives me
nuts. If you know that your running backs just aren't ready to go, and I don't think that they don't have any talent, I think they're just not ready to go, some of those guys. If you know they're not, you got to figure out a way to make it work instead of running right up the middle on first down. It's so dumb.
Oh, so predictable.
Even the running backs know it's dumb because they're starting to bounce it outside. They know it's dumb. The players know it's dumb. They can't complain because they're there on a scholarship and whatever. But they know it's stupid. They know it ain't going to work. They're looking at the other team. The other team is probably out there saying, you're going to run it up the middle, right? Because the thing that people don't know if you haven't played football before is all the other teams just talk trash to each other the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going, your guys are going to run it up the middle, right? I'm going to come for you. You're running up the middle. And then we run it up the middle.
Right into a wall.
Right into a wall. I mean, the showing from Jirel Brock yesterday, and it's not his fault, was pathetic. The showing from Cartavius Norton, just what he was given, pathetic. Just pathetic.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you're talking about.
No.
They're just slamming into a wall.
It's not an indictment on the player at all. We're giving them nothing to work with. And we're not going to win another game. We're going 3-9. And guess what? In a year where you need to do well because the transfer portal is going to be insane, we're going 3-9.
Yeah.
We're going 3-9. We're not a portal destination. A portal destination is a team that goes 8-4 with scraps.
Yep.
We can't have it keep going like this. You can't come out and do the same shit every week.
Every week.
Different result. Everybody talks about that famous Einstein quote, is insanity. It's the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Why do we do the same crap? We've been doing the same crap ever since Tom Manning came back. Ever since he came back, we've been doing the same crap. Because you want to know why? Because I'm sitting with Tyler at the Camping World Bowl, and we're at the 1 yard line, and we're still in the shotgun.
We're still in the shotgun, dude.
At the Camping World Bowl, which is 3 years ago. We haven't changed.
We haven't changed at all.
We haven't changed.
I don't know. I know you had Eric. I don't know if you have Tyler listen to Ben Bruns talking because he's an offensive lineman.
No, I heard those are. I got to start listening to that. I've heard great reviews on that.
Yeah, he's an offensive lineman, so he was going play by play on offense with his thoughts, basically. And
I'm listening to that right after this.
And he was just losing it. In the mildest tones ever, but he was just losing it. Talking about short yardage, down and distance, these third and inches situations, going out of the shotgun, because he says it's obvious what we're doing. You can see exactly where the ball is going when we're starting 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
You're giving the guys no opportunity. You've got linebackers.
They're loading the line of scrimmage.
You've got linebackers and safeties all piling into the A gaps, and they're just gonna just rip your face off. And
yeah,
do we not respect our opponents? I mean, it always happens when you're doing well, and your coach says cliche stuff like we don't care about. The other team, we approach every game the same. We're going to come out and execute what we can do and whatnot. Okay, yeah, that works when you're winning.
Right, but when you're losing.
Now he hasn't said that, but I know it's something that he would say. Something that Matt Campbell would say. If you're going to look at Oklahoma, you're going to look at Texas with all the five-star talent that they have, and just going to go, yeah, you know what, our guys, we could probably handle it. No, you can't. You haven't handled it all season. Figure it out. You have this big old boy at quarterback, and you haven't used him. Yep. I think they're telling him not to run. I honestly believe they're telling him not to run.
I believe that.
Because why isn't he? He's been doing it his whole career.
I worried about that a little bit after the Texas game when he got his bell rung.
He told him before. I mean,
well, I know, but I'm talking about him in his own mind.
Now
being more cautious about that as well. You see, so I've watched some of the game back. I haven't watched the second half yet.
But I watched the first half. Well, the second half's worse. So.
Well.
Yeah, go on.
That sounds like torment, man.
There was a play, the one right before our third down, right before the fourth down punt, where everybody was rolling around on the field, and the crowd was pissed off looking for an explanation as to why we've got a fight going on along the sideline. But that third down play, Deckers makes this jump pass, gets hit helmet to helmet. By I can't remember if it was the linebacker, defensive, or a nose tackle. It don't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Defender hits another piece. And the TV broadcast was ready to show replays of that third down play so that they could talk about was that targeting, wasn't that targeting, and then a fight happened and you never saw it brought up ever again. I didn't even see that from our perch in the corner during the game. I saw plenty of other opportunities, missed calls, what have you, is to bring me back around to why we need to be hiring full-time officials.
Not even Kevin.
I can't
even talk about that today.
It doesn't even matter. I get you. I get you. I do think it plays a part in the game, though.
Okay. Yeah.
You've got a team that's reeling. You have a team that's reeling, and watching that game back, I could see the close-up sideline cams on Campbell and everybody. And that when you feel wronged, and I felt wronged in the stands in that first
game. This is wrong.
Oh, I was.
This is wrong. This is just wrong.
I was.
You were close. You were close.
I mapped out my route to go run on the field. I was ready. It felt like a con job from my.
What law firm do you work for?
Oh man, it was rough.
I do think
that when you're struggling as a position, as when you're struggling as a team, and mainly on our offense,
mm-hmm.
the last thing you need is to feel like you're not doing it to yourself in some place. And there were some questionable decisions that went against us, and you could feel between the crowd and the team themselves that that weighed that much harder on you. And I wonder how the game would have been played differently if that first quarter especially didn't happen. The interception that rolled on the fucking ground.
Oh my gosh.
And I know we stripped a fumble out of them on their ensuing drive, but that doesn't matter. That's not right.
Nah. I was like, how did you not review that? Like,
what I'm getting to, I'm not going to get into my rant about how it's all rigged and Dallas has got an agenda against us and all this good stuff that may or may not be true. But what I'm getting to is you've got a team that's struggling, and we came out of the shoot that first quarter just feeling like we were getting held back a half a yard when we didn't need to be, and they were getting an extra half a yard. And that plays in the mind of a team that's grasping. We didn't have this feeling in 2020, you know. We didn't really have this feeling last year with our team, even though we weren't performing as well as we did in 2020. This year, you've got a group of guys that just aren't figuring it out. And the last thing you need is to find excuses. That doesn't help anything.
The thing I'll say is, like, yeah, the first half, you felt like you're getting screwed over by the refs.
Yeah.
You felt like you're getting screwed over.
It was the Baylor game all over again.
Yeah. But here's the thing. After a time, it's not about it's not the refs anymore.
No, I don't think that the officiating yesterday was why we lost.
I mean, we're still in that game. There was not one point in that second half where I was going, you know what, these refs totally blew it.
We
had plenty of time to regroup, figure ourselves out. And there wasn't like a specific call where we're just like, oh my gosh, these refs are trying to screw us over. That interception, yeah. But I mean, what are you doing throwing there, dude?
Well, it was a terribly thrown ball. Yeah,
it was a terribly thrown ball.
The pass interference that wasn't called, that was kind of a bummer. The block in the back,
it comes
the block
back
in the back
to,
that they threw the flag on and then decided they didn't want it anymore. And that was kind of
the thing that just makes me upset every time is when you see people on Twitter, and I know Twitter's not real life, but when you see people on Twitter make, like, I'm talking about national accounts who kind of do like analysis over footballs, and they're posting stuff from our 2018 year about how ingenious those plays were, and we didn't have an offensive coordinator. Mm. It's like, is our offensive coordinator like who's calling the plays that year? Because we need to put them at offensive coordinator. Second of all, like, we're having to step. Tom Manning's a step down from no offensive coordinator, and we're paying him $1 million a year. This state institution that does not have those funds. We do not have those funds to just pay a guy $1 million a year to suck.
No,
we need to change. We need change. And if that is totally redesigning the offense, okay, good. Do something. Is it if it takes firing Tom Manning, so be it. So be it. And Matt, I mean, what I would tell Matt Campbell if I ever talked to him, probably never happened, especially if he listens to this podcast. if we're not going to make a significant change, it's going to come with your job.
Well, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you are responsible for everything that goes on that field.
That's exactly what happened to Dan McCartney.
Yeah. He cared about his boys too much. He didn't want to fire his boys. He'll say, oh, we're going to work on it. We're going to work on it. And nothing changed. And he got canned. A guy who everybody in this state loves.
Yeah. Well,
Iowa State fans, everybody worships Dan McCartney. They think he's great. He still gets brought in to talk to our basketball players and our football players. Mm-hmm. That's how well regarded he is. I mean, he's revered in this state. That's how well regarded he is, where he's still allowed in the building. That doesn't mean he's a disgrace to the program.
No.
We just knew that he just did not want to change. And if we don't change this offense, because it's been the same since ever since Tom Manning came back, and it's gone downhill year after year. If it's not going to change, like, it's going to be Matt Campbell. And it's probably not going to be for a couple of years. But eventually teams will just, I mean, just having a terrible offense like this, enough years of us going 3-9, 2-10, you're gone. Having Paul Rhodes. We love Paul Rhodes. There's people who, the year we fired him, wanted him to stay because they loved him. I'm sure that you had a lot of Dan McCartney people who loved Dan McCartney who didn't want to leave. Is that true? I wasn't a fan at the time.
Well, sure. No, it was one of those where, very similar to this, you've got a guy who's bringing a program out of the depths.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost feel wrong shooing him out because he's the reason why you're where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
But all you wanted was for him to let his buddy go so that you guys together could do better. And he didn't want to. And you finally just say, well, this is stupid. We're just watching us lose to Missouri again in November. Again. What's changing? Nothing's going to change. All right.
Yeah.
Pollard, what's changing now? Whole house coaching change. That's what's happening because that's the only thing he can do.
There are people. I mean, I told people. I said it online.
It doesn't have to be personnel. Like, just tell me what's changing.
I said it online on forums and other places. Back in 2018, after we won the Big 10 or the Big 12 tournament,
mm-hmm.
And we went and played Ohio State, we got our ass kicked in basketball. I said, we need to let Steve Frohm go. Everybody was telling me, oh my gosh, you can't let Steve Frohm go. He just won the Big 12 championship, the tournament. You can't let him go. He's just blah, blah, blah. Look at all these guys he had. I'm like, yeah, all those guys were Fred Hoiberg guys, George Niang, Monte mm-hmm. Morris, Deontay Burton, Matt Thomas, Nathan, blah, 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 blah. All those guys were Fred Hoiberg guys, Fred Hoiberg coach guys, to the point where once Steve Prohm came in, he just needed to ride them. He just needed to ride them the victories and stuff. And then when it actually took him to build his own team, he couldn't do it. And I knew he couldn't do it because we saw in 2017 when he had to build his own team, he couldn't do it. He got lucky with recruiting. He got Talen Horton Tucker, Tyrese Haliburton. I mean, he's getting one of the best guards in the NBA right now on his team, and he was good from the jump. We're not getting that in football. We're not getting that kind of talent in football. Our name doesn't carry that weight in football. Now, Matt Campbell is not Steve Prohm. Matt Campbell is a good coach. But if you can't make the necessary changes because you can't tell your buddies, hey, look, dude, it's not fucking working. It's going to be you then, because we've already tasted the success. We've tasted going to the Big 12 championship in Dallas.
Yeah.
Once you get that taste, it never goes away. It never goes away. And you'll have to kill all the fan base in order for us to forget.
Yeah. Me, Allison, and another one of the guys that went with us down to Dallas that year, we talked about that game for a while after the game. Why? Because we just played Oklahoma, so it popped right back into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. We've been there. With what? With better talent than what we have right now collectively?
No.
With different coaches than we have right now collectively? No.
No.
So what in the hell? Why are we in the basement? I'm not going to answer the question. I'm just some hack who does print work for a living. I don't do this. That's why we pay for our season tickets. That's why you get the TV packages you're getting paid.
Why you get $1 million a year.
All I'm saying is figure it the hell out.
Figure it out. Figure out why. I mean.
And you can dismiss somebody like me and you and everybody else when you're saying something like this. I don't give a shit. It's not my job to figure it out. I'm just here to cheer you on and complain when you continue to run into a damned wall.
Because here's the thing. I'm looking at those tight ends, and I'm like, those tight ends are pretty good.
Hanukkah's been a great passing threat.
Hanukkah's been great.
Wide open on that one. That was Baker's missed opportunity.
Well, Hanukkah was like the third or fourth option.
Yeah.
So he was never going to get to him, but I knew it pissed your brother off. Just
wide open.
that would have tied the game. Anyway, but just, that's another thing where, if we make a play there, we go, you know what? He didn't hit the wide open guy, but he hit somebody 20 yards down the field. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Some of that is first year starting quarterback.
I'm seeing these teams on TV. They're getting 15 yard, 20 yard passes, play after play, getting drives together. Mm-hmm. We don't even throw that far. Like, you look at why can't we do what Oklahoma's doing? Oklahoma recruited Xavier Hutchinson. Oklahoma wanted Xavier Hutchinson bad. Xavier Hutchinson chose here, though. Mm-hmm. Jalen Noll can go anywhere he wants. If he decided today to go in the transfer portal, he could test his luck out and probably make some money. He's a good wide receiver. Dimitri Stanley was our leading receiver yesterday. Dimitri Stanley's been good. Sean Hanukkah's been good. It's not like none of these guys don't know what they're doing.
No.
Somebody's coaching in that building. A lot of coaches are coaching in that building. It's just, why is this offense not working? Why do we have former players biting their tongue because they don't want to piss off people? And I know why they're biting their tongue, and I'm not telling them to start yelling on Twitter. That's to each their own. But they're biting their tongue. They knew if their teams had this much talent, we'd be competing. I honestly believe that we have just as much, if not more, State and Kansas State is looking at the Big 12 championship right now.
Yeah.
We have more talent on at the quarterback position. If we're not going to make the change, I might change teams. No, I'm joking. Oregon's winning.
Oh, shut up.
I rooted for them once upon a time when we sucked. So,
well,
I don't know. It's really, really, like, we're the last team in the Big 12. Here's what I got.
If that doesn't, you know what? But yeah, go ahead. You say your thing.
Yeah, I was probably going to be what you're going to say, and you're going to get mad because I took it. We are the last team in the Big 12. Who gives a shit if you don't? This is the perfect time to experiment, to try it out, because we don't have anything. We have nothing to lose because we lost it all already.
Yep.
We have nothing to lose. We're already staring
winless. That was basically exactly what I was thinking.
We're staring winless in the face. You might as well try something.
Nothing drives change as well as just finishing in the basement.
Changes are coming.
Yep.
Changes are coming.
If we would have finished 7-5, who knows? Maybe we'd still be talking about the same old next season. But God willing, we're going to figure out a way to speed this offense along. We've been waiting for development on that offensive line for who knows how long. I think we have better talent now in that group. We're just not consistent.
Here's the thing, though. I don't even know. I don't even know if I should say this or not. you know what will just kill me? You know what will just kill me? If we do make a change at OC, if we do bring in a guy, or maybe somebody internal is just good. If we do bring in a guy who can light it up, and we totally light it up next year, and we look amazing with the same fucking players.
I wouldn't.
And then we'll just look back at what could have 2021 been.
You know what?
What could it been?
I welcome that. That sounds nice.
Yeah, I would love to feel that way.
That sounds nice. What he should have could have. It's always the case, isn't it?
Here's what I have to say also. One more thing, and I'll let you talk.
Yeah.
A recession is coming in this country. A recession is really coming in this country. If most people would agree. Things are about to get very tight financially with a lot of people. Everybody. People are going to start skipping out on things like football games and other stuff. If we keep losing, people are going to say, you know what, those season tickets, they're probably going to go 3-9 again. Let's not do it this year.
I don't think we're there right now with this team. I don't think we're there right now. I'm talking about
the individual family and kind of how things happened back in 2008, 2009. Now, it was a different story back then, but a lot of people during that time went, well, we need to cut back. We can't go to all these sporting events. We got to save money. We can't go on all these trips.
And I understand individual folks who find themselves in that position. I just think collectively as a fan base, I don't think there'll be that many people that would put their Iowa, if they're currently an Iowa State season ticket holder or a single game purchaser, I don't know that I'd see them changing things. And now who knows how crazy you're talking about.
Let me tell you this. They're going to raise prices.
No.
Yes, they will.
No. If
Of course they will. Of course they will. They got to raise prices. They've done it every year in the Matt Campbell era, haven't they? Just a couple bucks here and there. But they're going to raise prices again. But we're going to be going 3-9. And there'll be a lot of people going, wait, they raised it $25? Or they raised our tickets from where it was.
I'll see. So we'll
$1,000. So we'll, yeah, $1,000 for my family, and now it's $1,250. No, I can't afford
we'll
that.
We'll leave the price hike part of the conversation out of this thought, because that completely changes people's opinions on things.
But yeah,
you go back to looking at trends. Iowa State fans. I mean, this is our thing. This is our thing. This is what we do for fun. We go to Ames and we hang out in the parking lot for the entire day, and we go watch a game, and then we wait the rest of the year for another set of 12 opportunities to either do it home or at a party with other friends for the away games, that sort of thing. One season will not change people's opinions on the entire program. As far as am I going to expecting a level of turnaround for next season? I'm expecting that.
I mean,
sure as hell going at least 7-5, because we've figured out areas that need to be addressed
next
on
year?
Offense. Yes.
I'm not. If I'm not going to be dumb like that. History tells me that we haven't changed 2019. We haven't changed since 2019. Our philosophy, I should say. 2019. And you can remember, you're acting like this is the first season that we didn't meet expectations. We didn't meet expectations last year either.
Didn't.
People reluctantly came to the games this year because they were wondering, okay, this is probably going to be a down year. But they weren't expecting this. They weren't expecting duds. They're expecting to be tough games and fight to the end. And then, oh, well, we came up short. They weren't expecting, oh, our offense coming out and looking terrible when our defense is crushing. Because they were expecting our defense to not be that great. Both sides. Because Annie left. Mike Rose left.
Yeah.
Greg Eisworth left. We can go down the list of who all left.
Sure.
Anthony Johnson changed positions. Aishin Young left.
Both corners were still relative question marks.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with a lot of linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
We lost two linebackers, Hummel and Rose.
So you're talking about year over year of of showing a trend, I'll also just throw out this anecdote, and that'll just make me feel optimistic for next season. That year, we made an about face mid-season on how our defense scheme is even going to work, switching to this cloud.
Yeah, 2017.
That was a hell of a shift.
Yeah.
To be making. No personnel were changed, none of that. But we dug right in, addressed an issue that we knew we needed to be addressing with the personnel that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what we're doing defensively now.
Just killing people.
And so that's how I'm going to hold out a glimmer of hope. Is it gonna happen mid-season like it did with our defensive
shift? It should, because we're losing. What do we have to lose? We're not winning with this other crap.
Yep. This is when you're staring down the barrel of what does it even matter? What, we have nothing to lose.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
I think that's when you start seeing the strokes of genius out of this coaching staff. And so we've done it on the defensive end. Let's see. I don't know. I'm not going to be the blind optimist anymore, but I'm still holding out a little bit of hope, I guess.
Yeah.
And that more or less sums up how everybody's feeling right now.
Yep.
Look at those boys go.
This is what I'll say. I'm not expecting a change this season, even though I would say do the Colin Klein game. Just give your quarterback the ability to run.
Yeah.
Do power quarterback powers all game long. It would screw the crap out of them. Like, you telling me that we came out and did quarterback powers the whole West Virginia game, that they wouldn't see it coming and they would just totally be out of, they wouldn't know it hit them the first half. Well, of course we would.
The problem is if Oklahoma was sending 9, 10 guys in the box,
throw down the field.
And we were still running.
I just, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't. And that's why, like, I saw coming across my phone screen that we just offered a community college guy, an Iowa Central guy, linebacker, really good linebacker.
Hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that guy's a really good linebacker. Really good linebacker. I'd love him on our team. I hope he comes. I think that Iowa, Kansas, Mississippi, and parts of Texas have the best community colleges, JUCOs, for football talent. We got Iowa Western just right down the road. And they don't only just have really good college talent, they got NFL talent on their team. You have guys who might sniff the NFL one day. And we can go get all of that. And you know what? Should we? Yeah, probably we should go get more of those guys. But also, our problem isn't the personnel. Our problem is our philosophy about how we're doing things. Because now teams don't even respect us.
No.
Teams don't respect that we're going to throw a deep ball, because we're not.
If somebody's throwing 10 guys into the box, That's 1A high school.
That's a tell. That's a tell that they don't respect you. Not that they don't respect Hunter Deckers. Maybe they don't. But it's not that they don't. It's that they don't respect the offensive coordinator to call the play.
They're not respecting us to punish them consistently. That's for sure.
It's not even an indictment on Hunter Deckers. Because, I mean, he's throwing those picks that he was throwing yesterday, he's thrown into traffic. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Something needs to change, and it needs to change drastically. We don't have anything to lose for the rest of the season. It needs to change.
We're going to find out. Another home game on Saturday.
Because we're sniffing the dark days. And I'll be damned if we go back to the dark days. Because then we'll just remember I mean, everybody has it where they go to Vegas one weekend and they meet, I don't know, a beautiful woman or something. And they have that one night. And then they go home and they go, what could have been? That was our 2020. And then you just have to go back home to Podunk, wherever you live, and just go, huh. Oh, man. Wish I was back in Vegas. That was a fun time. That was a good vacation.
You and Cinnamon.
What could have been? As long as you would have stayed. If you would have stayed, just held on a little tighter. You know, maybe make a couple changes in your life. Get a job out there. Just keep hold of it. Come on. Figure out a way to keep hold of it. But no, you decided to go back to Podunk, Iowa. And you stayed.
We'll see how I feel on Tuesday.
You're going to feel like, hey, we're going to beat West Virginia.
Maybe. It might take me till Wednesday this week.
It might take you to Wednesday. Just please don't stay up at night thinking, don't wake up at 3 a.m. thinking that.
That was wild. Yeah, I didn't give football a thought, really, during that entire bye week stretch or anything. It was actually kind of nice. And yeah, Saturday morning, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I couldn't fall asleep. Just thinking about the tailgate in the game. The day I don't have that feeling on a Saturday morning is when I'll let you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway. That's how we're going to end the episode. Just me going.
How about that defense?
I love the defense. I love all the players. This is not on the players. Changes need to happen. That's it. Changes need to happen because if you're going 3-9, which we are, we're staring it in the face. Mm-hmm. If you go 3-9, if you're not going to change, you're going to go 3-9 the next year. Figure it out. All right. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
Basketball season's coming soon.
Ugh, I'm not ready to talk about that.
Go Cyclones.